for being a part of First Wesleyan Church. The title of the message today is Sin No More, The Healing After the Healing. I hope you were able to be with us last week. If you weren't able to be here last week, I encourage you to go online, and you can find that on the bulletin, how you can access that to hear what took place last week. I'm going to give you a little bit of what happened. Jesus went into Jerusalem in the first part of John chapter 5, and there was a pool called Bethesda. And there laid, according to the scriptures, a multitude of invalids, or invalids, as some might say. And imagine the scene. There was the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for that moment that they could get into the pool, because the pool was going to be stirred by an angel, and they thought that they could be healed. It sounded real interesting. As I mentioned last week, it's like, how did this work? I don't understand this. But that's what happened. Then there's this one man, and Jesus goes up to this one man and he says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man doesn't answer the question. And actually, it's one of those questions like, well, yeah, I want to be healed. Why wouldn't I want to be healed? But he doesn't answer the question. He just says, "Well, I can't get into the pool. I can't get there. I can't arrive there at all." I'm the one who would say, "Yeah, I want to be healed." But maybe he was hopeless and helpless, and he didn't think this man, because we'll see in the text today, he didn't know who this man was, so it's just like an ordinary Joe coming up to you. Imagine this for just a moment. Imagine you needing some money, and here comes up what you would call a beggar, put a beggar into your mind, and him saying, "Can I give you $1,000? You're going to look at the guy and say, "Where are you going to get $1,000? You don't even have a nice shirt on. It's got a bunch of holes in it." I don't think Jesus was wearing a holy outfit. He probably was wearing a holy outfit, but he probably wasn't wearing a holy outfit. And the man's like, "Well, who are you?" But the man would like to be healed. Can't even get into the pool first. I can't get there first. But Jesus does the miraculous, and he says these three words, or these three phrases: "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and he walked. We stopped there last week, and I just wonder what God stirred in your heart if you were here last week. Again, if not, you go online and see if God stirs something in your heart. And what did God ask for you to do? And I just encourage you, take up your mat and continue to walk. You just continue to walk. There's some days when the mat seems kind of heavy and it kind of weighs you down a little bit. But you keep picking up your mat, and you know that God has healed you. Don't go back to the pool at all. I wonder, though, did this man, a week removed, a month removed, a year removed, remember this event? I would say, you bet. And when God does a mighty work, we remember. But there's more to the story. Here's what happens. Jesus heals this man on the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is actually the seventh day of the week, the Saturday. The Sabbath was a day of rest in that culture. The fourth commandment was this: remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. This was the commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and that is all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I brought with me a picture that will be on the screen behind me of a calendar. It's a calendar of the month of October. Now, who invented the calendar? Anybody know? I'll answer the question for you. God did. He did. You look in your Bible. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he goes to, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, on the first day he did this, and on the second day he did this, and on the third day he did this. He established a seven-day week. Nobody else. It wasn't the Greeks. It wasn't whoever else you think of. It was God. He did this. He made the calendar for us. Now, we're going to talk about this, about what the Sabbath means and Why do we worship on a Sunday? We won't go clear too far into that. But I will say this. To the Jew, the Sabbath was very important. To heal somebody on the Sabbath was a no-no. Was the Sabbath the issue here, or was it something deeper? What can we do on the Sabbath? And here's one of the major questions I'm going to ask you today. And I'm going to phrase it in you. Do you keep the Sabbath holy? Do you keep the Sabbath holy? I'll go back to myself. Do I keep the Sabbath holy? Now I'll make it more general. Do we keep the Sabbath holy? Let's look into the scripture and see what's happening here. As Jesus heals this man, I'm reading from John chapter 5. It's on the Bible in front of you in the chair rack if you want to read along on page 890. I'm going to start at verse 9 and I'm going to go through verse 17. By the way, I encourage you to come next week because 17 through verse 24 is some deep theological truth. We're going to wade in next week, but let's go here first. Let me go back to verse 8. Let me start there. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, the man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. That always amazes me in the text. How could Jesus in his popularity just withdraw? I mean, there's another time in the scripture when he just somehow leaves from the group. He's on the cliff and somehow he got away. I don't understand that. Verse 14, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, the man who had been healed, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." The first thing I want you to see is this. The Sabbath was to be a day set aside. Let me start with this. We need a day of rest and worship. Let me repeat that. We, each of us, need a day of rest and worship. Let me jump outside of this for just a moment. I'm assuming I'm talking to a lot of you individuals today that would consider yourself Christians. That's wonderful. What does the person who is not a Christian do with this? They continue to work, and they continue to drain themselves. Why? Because every person, back to my calendar, you don't have to show it again, but back to the calendar, every person needs a day of rest. It's just a given. That's how God wired us. Now, some of you are saying, well, the Sabbath was Saturday. Why do we not worship on a Saturday? Why are we here in church on a Sunday? I choose to believe that we gather on a Sunday because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. And so at that point in time, there was a change. The first day of the week, to start the week out right, saying, "I am going to worship. I am going to give my first part to the Lord." So does it matter about the Sabbath or Sunday? I answer that question for you in two ways. Yes and no. If you want to jot these verses down, feel free. Matthew chapter 12, verse 8. Mark chapter 2, verse 28, and Luke chapter 6, verse 5, this is what Jesus says. "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Obviously, Jesus is saying that we don't need to be caught up so much in the Sabbath, that 24-hour period on a Saturday. We don't have to, that's not exactly it. If so, if we have to do that 24-hour period, then many of us are doing it wrong because we worship on Sunday instead of on a Saturday, and we're doing it wrong. Now, in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Here's what it says. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Here's the truth. A Sabbath is important. One without work. One with rest. And we miss this in our society. I ask you, when is your Sabbath? A time for worship and rest. Do you have one, or have you bought into the cultural lie that we need to work all the time, to be busy all the time, to do all of those things? I say, yes, the Sabbath is important. God rested, though he didn't need to. He didn't create the world and say, oh man, I am so exhausted. I better take a break. He didn't do that. He rested as an example for us, as a model. But I fear that we miss out on a Sabbath in our life, a day of rest. We applaud the workaholic. Man, they work so hard. But maybe that is not what God wants us to be. I don't want us to be lazy, but we need to have a Sabbath, a day of rest. When is yours? When is your rest from the rhetoric of all the outside noise? And it's more than just coming to church. I think it's great that you're in church on a Sunday. That's wonderful. But it's more than just coming to church. Let me rewind 100 years. Do you know what many Christians did on a day of worship 100 years ago? They would ride in their horse and buggy to church. They would sit through a service. And they would sit on hard pews, by the way, padded. Chairs are nice, aren't they? They would sit on hard pews, and kids would not make any noise, and it would be silent and quiet, and then they would ride home, and you know what they did for the Sunday afternoon? They would sit, and they would read the Bible, and they would do no work. There were some that would actually fire up the stove on Saturday so they didn't have to work on Sunday, and they'd have something cold to eat. Now, here's where we are in 2018. We miss church because of a sporting event. Well, it's just one Sunday. It's not that big of a deal. The NFL, I can just go to a game. It's not that big of a deal. It's just on Sunday. And we miss it. We travel instead of going to church to get an extra day off. We go into the office for just a few minutes. I have personal conviction. I talked to Dawson on the way in this morning. I don't think you should mow on Sundays. I don't think that's restful. You may think it's restful, and you may say, well, that's your opinion, and that's fine. But I don't think that's work. That's not a day of rest. Well, that's the only day I could get it in. And then I say, if that's the only day you can get it in, maybe we're missing something. We hold close to these many computers that we call around, that we drag around with us. Oh, I got to check. What if I said, why don't you try this today? On your Sabbath day, turn it off and put it away. Well, but if somebody has an emergency, they can get it a hold. Okay. Find one of your little mini computers and leave it on and put it over in the corner. And if somebody needs to get a hold of you, they will. What do we miss? We miss a day with God. And he calls out to us once a week saying, I want to spend time with you. It's not a guilt trip. It's to move us beyond as Christians to what Christ calls us to. Actually, he insists on it. But maybe it's the enemy distracting us to be quiet and to worship him and to keep the Sabbath day holy. Repent and stop dropping the things on the Sabbath. I'm not trying to be legalistic, but we need to remember God's commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Do you keep the Sabbath day holy? If you're a man in the room, do you provide, and you're a husband, do you provide a day of rest for your family? Oh, we could just do this. Men, set the standard. If you're a lady and you're not married, make it a Sabbath. I know if you're a married woman and you have kids in the home, you're like, when do I get a Sabbath? Try to find it as much as you can, even as a mom. Set it up for that. Retired people, if you're retired, Sunday is just another day. It shouldn't just be another day. It should be a day of worship. It should be a day of keeping it holy, different than a Thursday, different than a Friday. Make it a Sabbath. I encourage you to make the Sabbath day a day of holiness and a day of rest. If you're married, talk about it. How are you going to do it? The society presses in on us so much that we have to draw back and say, I've got to keep the Sabbath holy. And I haven't even talked about work. That's something else that, well, I'm a nurse. How do I deal with that? I've got to work this job. And I ask the question, are you keeping the Sabbath day holy? What kind of communication are you giving your wife, your kids, the society around you? But my kid's going to miss out if I don't. Maybe he won't miss out on God. I better keep moving. Number two, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. So here's this guy, infirmed, he's hopeless, he's defeated, he's infirmed, and against all the rules, here comes Jesus and he heals him on the Sabbath. Now, think about this for just a moment. The man's sitting there, and he says, Jesus, you know it's the Sabbath. Now, he doesn't say this, but just play with me for a moment, or just go with me for a moment here. Could we wait like 16 hours? Because in 16 hours, it's going to be Sunday, because of Sabbath and Sunday. It's going to be Sunday, and it'll be okay. I'm not going to have any trouble. And then when I walk around on Sunday with my mat, nobody's going to stop me. Could we just wait for just a moment? Could you delay your healing for just a little bit? This man's been infirm for 38 years. Kind of silly, isn't it? But this was strictly against the law. Why did this man get stopped? Did this man get stopped because he was healed? No. He got stopped because of this. He was carrying his mat. They're not even talking about the healing. They're talking about him carrying his mat. Why? Jeremiah 17, verse 21. And do not bear a burden on the Sabbath. In Nehemiah 13, Nehemiah is perplexed because of what people are doing on the Sabbath. They were bringing loads on the Sabbath. So to the rabbis of Jesus' day, they argued that a man was sinning if he carried a needle in his robe. Think of a little needle. Oh, carrying a burden. You are sinning on the Sabbath. They even argued as to whether one could wear artificial teeth or his wooden leg. Sorry, sir, you can't wear your wooden leg today because it's the Sabbath, because you'd have to put it on and then you walk and you're working. The Sabbath was holy. How dare Jesus break the Sabbath? But that's what he did. As a religious leader, what would you have done?
You can't do that.
Get re-injured or something. Hurt yourself again, buddy, because you can't do that on the Sabbath. No, they didn't do that. But what a great day to be healed on the Sabbath. Obviously, the angel could have stirred the water on the Sabbath, or the man wouldn't have been there, right? He wouldn't have shown up on the Sabbath if that wasn't a possibility, unless he just stayed there. Does God stop working on the Sabbath? No. I'm thankful for that. He rested from creation on the seventh day. His works of grace, judgment, compassion, mercy, love, forgiveness continues to go on and on every day. I'm thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, I've got to rest on the Sabbath, guys, so I'm God, so I'm not going to continue to show you mercy. No. But as we'll see next week, Jesus is saying that his work is as important as God's work and that they were the same, and that's blasphemy. For instance, let me give you a modern day circumstance about this. Let's say that you decide to come to church, and then on your way home for a relaxing day of keeping the Sabbath day holy, you notice that there's a car in the ditch and there's a couple of kids hanging out of it, and there's obviously a wreck and there's no one around. What do we do? Well, today's the Sabbath day. The preacher just said, I can't do anything. I can't do any work. Have a wonderful day. Would we do that? No, we wouldn't do that. We'd get out and we'd help out. Some of us might have a little bit of difficulty because we drive by because I got to get my kid to the soccer game and I'm already late and so I got to get him there. Or I've got to get to my breakfast. We're meeting for breakfast with somebody. Keep the Sabbath day holy. We would stop and we would help. Because just like God's compassion is for us, we would be full of compassion on a Sunday as well. The man was carrying around his mat. The Jews caught him. Aha, you are in violation of the law. You are carrying so much. You're carrying a whole mat. Some versions actually call it a pallet. Now, when I envision a pallet, I don't want to carry a pallet around, but it's probably a little more than just this that he was carrying around. But he was carrying around his mat. What would you have done, though, if Jesus said to you, get up, take up your mat and walk? And as I talked about last week, was there some sensation that went through the body? I don't know, but he just did it. He just said, hey. And I wonder if, this is just wondering, was the picking up of the mat, was that part of the cure? I mean, because that was some of the instructions he was given. He was told to get up, but he was also told to take up his bed. But in his reply, one scholar says, there may be the implication that one who was able to work such a cure must be possessed of peculiar authority, and that to obey such a person's command seemed a clear duty. And the man's like, I don't know who healed me, but he told me to do it. Who is this man? I don't know. But Jesus runs to this man again. And he says these words, knock it off. That's the Steve Selfridge translation. That's not what he says. Here's what he says to the man. Sin no more. Now, you got to understand what they understood at that point in time of the day. And here was this. There was a perception that someone might have an infirmity because of sin. So if you remember when the blind man was healed and they went to the parents and they said, well, who sinned? This guy or his parents? Now, that's the perception they have. To the Jews, sin and suffering were inextricably connected. If a man suffered, necessarily he had sinned, nor could he ever be cured until his sin was forgiven. Hear me in this. I believe this from God's word. I believe that sometimes when we sin, we actually are physically infirm because of that sin. I don't think that happens all the time. Like the Jews believed. But Jesus says this word, or he says these three words, sin no more. I want to direct your attention over to 1 John chapter 3, because this is an intriguing thing for me as we think about sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. This man was asked to get up, take up his bed, and walk. And later on, he was said, sin no more. Verse 6 of 1 John chapter 3. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Verse 8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Interesting words, is it not, from God's word today? I encourage you to continue that discussion over lunch today because there's some theological complications there. But Jesus tells this man, sin no more, and we are told to not sin. The man reports to the Jews. I don't think he went to tell on Jesus. I think he was trying to get out of trouble, to blame it on someone else, to cast the blame. He didn't want to get in trouble for carrying his mat. Please don't blame me. It was just this other guy. This other guy told me, and so I'm just coming. And here's what happened to Jesus. Jesus was persecuted. Why did he get persecuted? Verse 16. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Isn't healing wonderful? Isn't that a blessing? Wasn't this man's life changed? But Jesus was persecuted. That happens at times when we do the right thing on Sunday or on Monday. We can be persecuted as well. We're not sure what kind of persecution he endured. It doesn't tell us that. What was happening here? Were they pushing him in the corner? We're not sure what they were doing. But we know that he was persecuted. When you do things in the name of Jesus that are outside the bounds of what people might see as formal Christianity, know that you will be persecuted. But Jesus said, I have to. I'm working as my Father is working. This man was healed. This man was, well, what are you doing? You shouldn't be carrying your mat. Jesus finds him and says, sin no more. Today, stop for just a moment and evaluate your Sabbath. Do you keep your Sabbath holy? If not, what will you do to change that? If you've been touched by Jesus, strive to live a life of perfection, a life of holiness, instead of wallowing back to the mat. Sin no more with Jesus' power in your life. And know when you work in Jesus' name, you will be persecuted. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each and every one of you here today. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Thank you for listening to God's word, and I encourage you to apply something to your life today from his word. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the rest of this story, the healing after the healing. This man was encouraged to sin no more because he had been healed. I pray, God, that you would provide healing for individuals here today, that they would continue to take up their beds and walk. Walk in grace, in holiness, in righteousness. And then, God, I pray that you would help us to evaluate our Sabbaths. What do we do when we leave from this place? Help us to keep the Sabbath holy. Help us to have a day of rest. Lord, I think of some individuals here today that have just been running and they just need a rest. Help them to find that today, or help them to find it another day this week, that they could have a day of rest, a day of worship, instead of running, running, running. Lord Jesus, I pray that if we have been touched by you, that we would strive to live a life of perfection, of holiness. Enable us to do that. We are so weak, but with your power, we can do it. And may we trust in you. I pray, God, that you would go before each man and each woman today, that you would provide for them peace, that you would provide for them a new song to share this week. There just be something reverberating in their minds each and every day this week of your love and your grace for us. Thank you that you've not left us behind, but you continue to lead us. May you lead us each step of the way this week. We love you. Praise your holy name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.